football on off the ball.
We gave away one sloppy goal and then one, to be fair to our players. The referee points for a goal kick and the players stop. And then he allows the play to go on and they score off the back of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Settle in on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 00.
All right, you're very welcome along to another episode of Settle In, brought to us on Off the Ball with thanks to Guinness 00. So settle down and get comfortable, because today we're bringing you the fascinating story of the Dublin Doggos, a rugby club here in Dublin that aims to bring together Irish and expat communities and create a home away from home on the rugby pitch. I'm delighted to be joined in studio with Gonzalo Sainz, originally from the beautiful Patagonia region in Argentina. He was one of the core founders of the Doggos in Dublin back in 2016. So Gonzalo, how are you? Welcome to studio.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming in. Tell us a little bit then about what the Doggos is and how it was, how it came to be back in 2016.
Well, I came to Ireland in 2010. So I joined Mary's Club in Temple Oak. So I played with them for a few years. And then after a while, a few friends from Argentina, we decided to start a sevens team, but suddenly we thought that a 15 was a good idea. 15 aside, was a good idea. So essentially, we had this crazy idea to do an expats team with Irish players, and then in 2016 off we went and started the Doggos.
Why did you want to make the switch from sevens to 15s initially?
Well, first, when we thought about the sevens teams, because we were just four of us, and then we just needed an extra three players. But what we were thinking was that we wanted a place for expats to be able to have like a community club and a place away from home. Which is something that it really resonated with us. Obviously, we're four Argentinians in Dublin, and that's why we said, okay, actually a sevens team, it's only a summer gig, and that wouldn't do the purpose of getting that community club, right? So yeah, then it was I have to say that when we started the conversation, I was in bed with fever, so it kind of like felt very, very crazy idea. But then I said, "Why not?" And then off we went, and we started recruiting players, and yeah, and then the rest is history. Yeah,
that's funny. A bit of a fever dream almost that turned out pretty well. I have to ask you, why is it called the Dublin Doggos? Because I think a lot of people, and your symbol is obviously a dog as well, might think you have some sort of doggy daycare going on as well as rugby on the pitch, but that's not the case. So why is it called the Doggos?
Yeah, no, that's not the case. And we do get a lot of questions about why the dog, right? And essentially the Argentinian Doggo is the main national breed of dog that we have in Argentina. It's a very, very strong dog. I think they're used to hunt pumas, actually. So it must be a really, really, really tough dog. But basically, it's a club from Patagonia that I always loved. I played with them a few times, and I always loved the symbol of the Doggo. Also, the province of Córdoba is a very strong rugby province in Argentina. The provincial team is also called the Doggos. So being the national dog of Argentina, and again, we were four Argentinians starting the club, so it really resonated with us, naming it like that, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. How did you, obviously, I presume you played rugby back at home in Argentina before you came here. What brought you to Ireland, I suppose, and what motivated you to set up the club once you had met the other three lads, or other four maybe?
Yeah, so basically I was living, I played in Argentina since I'm 6 years old. So I played in Buenos Aires first. We were living there with my family. Then we moved back to Patagonia, and also in a club from my town in Villa Langostura, which is a beautiful village in Patagonia. So I had, and that club was also a new club, so I had kind of like that background of starting a club and joining that club. Then I moved to Spain. I played in the first division there, in Alcobendas in Madrid. And then when I moved to Ireland to study, I came to study to DCU. So I played for Mary's a few years. Then university, my two kids came along. So essentially, I quit for a while. And then again, the idea was to, knowing that clubs in Dublin, they are very traditional clubs. They may have players that they've been playing together since they're very young in school, etc. We wanted this club to integrate expats, but also with Irish players. And that's how essentially the Dogos came to life. And yeah, it was bumpy at the beginning because obviously we didn't know many people who wanted to join us. And yeah, but since 2016, we've been playing with, I think we counted 20 different nationalities within the Dogos. So which shows what a multicultural city Dublin has become, right? And from countries that you wouldn't expect rugby to play. Like, I remember a Cuban guy, for example.
The Cuban sevens have been growing, so I can see that a little bit.
Absolutely. And again, from Singapore, from all over the place. It's just such a nice story to have all different countries. And it's also a great story to show how Dublin embraces new cultures, right? And we have players from over Ireland, not only Dublin, but obviously we're based here, and yeah, we've seen this city embracing, you know, new cultures and different countries, which is a beautiful story.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it there. I had 10 different nationalities written down, but you said 20, so that just shows. But I suppose apart from that, how much growth have you seen now? I mean, almost 10 years later.
Well, so we moved from the Leinster League to the Dublin Metro League because it suits more the type of social rugby that we're looking for. Obviously, we know we won't compete in the EL, but essentially we've been growing in the sense that that community outside of the players, it gets bigger and bigger every year because, you know, obviously social rugby. I'm 40 years old. I still play. I shouldn't, but those players that are actually retiring, they stay involved in the club, and also, you know, their partners and family. They're still involved in the club, which is really nice, especially with our third house, which is a beautiful concept that we have. And yeah, that extra part. But I mean, in terms of the club, since we moved to the Metro, we started at the bottom of the Metro at 11, and we've been now we're in Metro 8. So it's been we won the Metro division last year and the cup. So yeah, rugby wise we're also growing, but at the same time with the limitations of obviously having a new club, right, competing with very established clubs here in Dublin.
How many players would you have now compared to the four you probably started with?
Okay, the first year actually was interesting because I went to DCU, and knowing that DCU doesn't have a club, so they play for the University League, but they don't have a club. I went to DCU and asked them, do you want to join the Dogos? So the first year we had a really strong DCU/Dogos team. Because we're based in Cool Mine, so that was close enough to DCU. But since then, we kind of like kept more or less 40 players per season, which is in January, the Dogos don't play well, mainly from Argentina. And,
probably hiding from the cold weather.
Exactly, absolutely. Italian, Spanish players, and in a January training, we could be 20 instead of the 40, right? But yeah, that's more or less the number of players we have at the moment.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I was saying to you before we came in here, it's such an amazing concept to have a place for people who might not have grown up here to come and play. Because as I said, I moved around a lot as a kid, and it's easy when you're a child because, you know, you have school and there's sports in the school and you just slot in quite naturally. But I remember I used to watch my mum moving around, and it was so difficult for her to find a place where she could fit in and feel at home. Have you had members kind of come up and tell you that this has become almost like a safe space for them?
Absolutely, yeah. And look, the home away from home is a motto that we internally say all the time, and you can really see it, right? And you see perhaps you know, partners and friends and families that come to the games that and sometimes we have even larger crowds than, you know, better teams than ourselves are playing in better divisions because we have that extra community side of thing that really gives this space, this safe space, as you say, to the extended Dogos family. So, and again, the third half is something that that we try to do it when we can, when the weather permits. Obviously, rugby is a winter sport in Ireland, but essentially it's a barbecue or some type of food that we can cook for the opposition and as well to the friends and families that join us in the games, you know.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that third half, because I think that's something that people who even don't play would want to get involved in the post-match celebrations.
So you know yourself, Argentina is a massive, massive barbecue asado country, and actually in rugby, it's tradition that you will invite your opposition to stay over for food, and it tends to be an asado and a barbecue. So we're really lucky that we're based in Terenure Rugby Club. That's where we're based. They let us, you know, cook some barbecue. We actually cook some amazing barbecues for their events as well.
Wow.
So that's something that we always love. Obviously, we love the meat and we love the Irish meat here is amazing. So we love doing the barbecues for us, but also to show a little bit of culture and you know, and just to share a good moment between teams is always good, you know.
How do the visiting teams respond to that?
Well, it depends, you know. Sometimes you see teams that are from outside of Dublin, you know, they want to go back to the clubs, but yeah, most of them they love it. I mean, who doesn't like, right, a piece of meat slowly cooked in to perfection with some chimichurri sauce, that I have to say is something that we always have in the third halves.
Sounds like people are going to be running to Terenure to join in your
I hope so. We're always looking for players.
I'm wondering, why do you think, I mean, you touched on it earlier yourself with kind of your journey in rugby in Ireland, but why do you think expats who arrive in Dublin maybe feel more comfortable joining a club like the Doggos rather than maybe one of the more traditional clubs that we have here?
As I said, look, I had an amazing time playing for Mary's. I also played for Stillorgan a little bit. You can tell right away that the groups are already formed, and you know, it's great because you get to feel, you know, the rugby tradition in Ireland, which is huge. But when you join the first training in Dogos, you see, you know, again, different nationalities, you know, they're all playing a different style. Then you hear about the third halves, then you hear about a tour that we do every end of season, you know, to Italy, Spain, we went to Budapest. So all those things, I think, for an expat that doesn't have any attachment to other previous clubs here in Dublin, is a great call, you know, for them. And also it gives this side of the community, you know, we all immigrated, you know, we can help them with understanding how to navigate the city. Sometimes it's language, right? I mean, we have so many players from Spain, from Argentina, from Italy, that perhaps English is not the first language, and we have another person from that nationality in the team that can help them, you know, navigate not only the sport, but also the new life in Dublin.
Yeah, I can imagine, because moving comes with so many complications of finding a house, figuring out how to pay your bills in a new country, and through a second language, that is so difficult. So having a helping hand, I can imagine, is a huge draw for
Absolutely.
The people who come in.
Absolutely.
You also have Irish people from around the country playing, and Dublin possibly playing in the club. What brings them in versus maybe joining a different club?
Yeah, well, that's something that we always thought that this is an integration, you know, idea and club and a community club to basically integrate different communities. And I think the appeal for the lads perhaps from outside of Dublin is probably the same thing as we feel expats feel when we join another rugby club, that you know the groups are already formed and then you get to be a new member, but also you get to feel that the club is part of you as well, right? So that you belong, but also the club belongs to you. And then the lads from Dublin that perhaps they have played at a good level before, they just want to play social rugby, but with a bunch of crazy guys from all over the world. So, and that's essentially the appeal for them.
Yeah, it's certainly something different.
Absolutely.
I can see the way you talk about it. You have such pride in kind of the club and what it stands for. When you look back and when you're talking about it like you are now, how do you feel kind of emotionally looking at the success of the past 10 years?
It is, it's crazy. I think I remember being at the Aviva and, you know, where the signs were showing all the different clubs from around the country. And suddenly I saw, you know, the Dublin Dogos, and it really, you know, struck me that, that we're part of the history of rugby in Ireland, which, you know, as you said, it fills me with immense pride. But when I look at the past and I see all different nationalities and then seeing all those players that perhaps they're going back to their country of origin after playing with us, and they're still, you know, involved, and they might join us to in a tour, you know, as I said, in Budapest or in Spain or wherever we're going that year, you know, you can tell that, that we're really impacting not only players from a sports perspective, but also on their lives, you know, and that, that really is a matter of pride. And I have actually a good anecdote. Which when Felipe Contepomi joined Leinster and the Leinster coaching staff a few years ago, he found out about the Dogos and he contacted us and he said that he wanted to meet us. So we cooked a barbecue for him at home.
Wow.
And that was kind of like a highlight, you know, one of my idols, you know, rugby idols. And then suddenly he's at home, you know, sharing rugby stories because we started the Dogos. So, you know, as I told you before, I feel that is my third child, and I think the rest of the founders and the rest of the members of the Dogos, they feel the same thing.
What did Felipe have to say when he came and experienced all the kind of Argentinian culture here in Dublin?
he was perplexed because obviously when he joined Leinster as a player back in the days, you know, there weren't that, I think the Argentinian community wasn't as big as it is now. So he was surprised that, you know, not only, you know, there's more Argentinians in Dublin, but also there was a club that that is bringing the Argentine culture, you know, to the rugby community in Ireland. So he was really, really proud about it. And whenever he comes to Ireland, for example, when he was here with the Pumas, you know, we met again, and he remembered that the barbecue that we cooked at home. So for me, it's a massive, massive highlight of my of my life. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine, and it's very cool that it's stuck in his memory. Obviously, that every time when he comes back to visit Dublin, he makes sure to kind of get in contact.
That's, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, you kind of answered my next.
I cook a mean asada. I cook a mean barbecue, so you know.
That's what he remembers.
That's probably what he remembers.
I was going to ask you, do you have any kind of core memories from your time with the club? I suppose that's one, but are there any others that stand out when you think
there's
back?
So many again, you know, and I get, sometimes I get emotional to think of how many things we accomplished, you know, of lifting a cup, right? You know, lifting a cup from a club that you started, and it took so much effort, because at the beginning it took so much effort to actually start a club, right? You don't know anyone, but suddenly lifting a cup and seeing the players and the happiness that a cup, even at the level that it is, right? Because we play a social rugby, but still, you know, and all that effort, you know, the coaching staff, obviously we're all volunteers, you know, and I have to always, you know, be thankful of how much effort they put into, you know, every day that I go training, every game that we have to play, either in, at home or away. So lifting a cup, and we lifted, I think, 4 cups now. So that's pretty impressive for, you know, our history. It's always a highlight. But I have to say that one time, the Pumas team from Argentina, which is a special needs team, they were playing a cup here in Ireland. And they found out about us, obviously. And again, we cooked an amazing, lovely barbecue in Turnier. And seeing, you know, what sport, what rugby means for them, and the love that they shared that day, for me, is probably one of the highlights. And then, personally, I have to say that my kid plays rugby. And he's been, he was born in 2012, so he was 4 years when we started the Dogos. And him joining the huddles every time we have a game. Again, I still play, you know, I'm 40 years old, but I'm still playing. And joining those huddles and seeing him what, you know, our club is and what it represents, for me is a highlight that I always remember, yeah.
What do you think it means for him growing up having both the Irish way of rugby, but then also getting to see this place where it's so unique that so many people of different cultures and different languages can find kind of that common language on the pitch?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, we're based in Mullingar. He plays for Mullingar Rugby Club, and he's in under-14s now. Look, Dublin is a very cosmopolitan city, but perhaps you go outside of Dublin and you have less communities that you'll find here in Dublin. So I think for him, it's kind of like it's a matter of pride as well, you know, being able to show his culture, his way of understanding rugby that he sees from myself or from when we watch the Pumas, which is, you know, a bit more a creative type of rugby, and then compare that to the Irish style of play, which is, you know, very structured but very powerful as well. And I think he understands that, you know, that's the beauty of Ireland nowadays, right? It's a mix of cultures and styles that people bring from wherever they come in and mixing up with the Irish players.
Yeah. Do you have his place reserved in the team for when he gets a bit older?
Absolutely. Yeah. you know, he says that he wants to play for Ireland and Argentina, so he's still undecided.
Figuring out how that works.
We'll see if he makes it first. I told him first it's Leinster and then it's our national team. But anyway, yeah. he absolutely loves rugby. So for me, it's a pleasure, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. You spoke kind of about the social side of the club. I read somewhere that at the start, maybe when the team was formed, there was kind of dreams of, you know, progressing through the Leinster League, maybe making it to the AIL. And then once you kind of started developing it, you realised that the social side was actually maybe more important. I'm curious, just maybe even expat community aside, how important you think it is that we have clubs in Dublin where you can play at that social level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did have, I have to, this is a reference to one of our founders, Diego, who is a dreamer as well. And we're all dreamers, right? Otherwise, we don't start this. And he always wanted to progress to as much as we can, knowing that obviously there are a lot of players from Argentina that perhaps they want to do the jump to European rugby and perhaps be in that house, right? But obviously, it gets complicated because... First, there's so many layers, and the rugby in Dublin is so strong that we found out that when some very strong players joined us. I remember the first year we had a player from South Africa who ended up playing for Terenure. It's easy for them, and it's a good move that perhaps they play 1 year with us, but then obviously the next year they want to go and play at the highest level they can, right? So yeah, then we realized that our space in the rugby in Dublin is that social aspect, and it was the ethos of the club from the beginning, right? We want to play at the best level we can. We always have, I think we punch above our weight sometimes at the level that we play, because we get these players that, because of the nature of the club, they want to join us, and they could be playing at a higher level, of course, right? So that's why we were able to move from Division 11 to 10 and 9 now and 8, right? So we every year we improve. This year we're sitting at third at the table, so we'll see.
But
decent enough. That's kind of like the main ethos is still, you know, that community integration and that social aspect, and that's what we want to do, and we have fun doing it, you know.
Yeah, because there's people who come to your club who might have never played rugby before.
Absolutely.
As well as those players who might be looking for a stepping stone onto some of the bigger clubs. I think that's amazing, because in a place like Dublin where rugby is so dominant and boys would have come up playing from the age of 3-4, same in Argentina, of course, it must be intimidating for a person who might have never played the sport to find a place where they can come in. How do you kind of navigate that, and how do you make people feel welcome?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because as you said, rugby is not an easy sport to start. I mean, it involves, you know, a lot of physicality, you know, especially if you haven't played from an early age. You know, it's tough. It's tough to start it. But when you move into Ireland, you see how strong the rugby tradition is here. So you want to join that. You want to be part of that tradition. And we want to be that place for them, because, again... having not knowing the sport, not knowing anyone around, not being from the city, we want to be that place for them. And we actually had a lot of Irish lads who play perhaps Ga and they want to try rugby and they join us, you know. So it's a really nice place to for that introduction into the sport. And people really surprised me. Like we've seen players. I remember a guy from the Czech Republic. He was a ice hockey player, right? And
there's
I remember
the physicality. Then.
Absolutely, like imagine you know going at 200 kilometers per hour in that sport, right? So I remember the first ball that he grabbed. He just you know didn't stop running and he didn't mind the hits and he was an amazing player. He only had to you know learn the rules, which obviously is not easy. But yeah, so it's really really nice to see that we are also that avenue for players to start the rugby journey.
How do you navigate that at a on the training pitch level? Because I would have played women's rugby in college, and it's similar that you get a lot of people coming into the sport, which is great. But sometimes it can be difficult to maybe organize a training session when you don't have huge numbers because some people are at different levels and some people are beginners. How do you kind of navigate that?
It's not easy because obviously when you have a seasoned player, right, who's been playing rugby all their lives, you know, they already know that that when you're using the training sessions is to prepare for the game. Suddenly you have to have more patience with this guy that maybe perhaps is lost in an offside rule or in a rock or something like that, right? So what we try to do is that again we have a lot of volunteers in the coaching staff that perhaps will you know bring them outside of that drill and explain the rules or explain a little bit of technique. So it's trying to accommodate, right? It's never easy because again, you know, it's rugby, but we're still playing at a level that that requires knowing the rules and knowing how to play. So it's just being patient, you know, and knowing that our ethos is that integration, right? So it will defeat the purpose if we are actually, you know, excluding people that they want to start playing rugby to feel that atmosphere and that community aspect of the club.
Yeah, does that ever boil over with maybe some of the more experienced players feeling frustrated, or is it just that everybody there has that ethos in the back of their mind all the time?
Yeah, look, I mean, they know that the club is like that, and we have that component of new players and beginners, right? So, and I wouldn't say that sometimes it boils to frustration, but. But no, most of the players that join us, you know, they know that, right? And they want to play for us because they want to feel that part of that club and that community. So no, I have to say that all the lads that play all these years with us, they helped the beginners and yeah. So it's a safe place for other players. When we had good numbers in different seasons, sometimes we tried to organize friendlies, perhaps outside of the league, so those players can actually have more minutes. Because again, you know, perhaps if you're a beginner, you're going to join, you're going to get into a team in the second half, perhaps a few minutes at the end. It's difficult for you to really develop your skills, right, mm-hmm. if you don't have the time. So we try to organize and again, maybe in the summer friendlies, you know, get them more involved and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. And obviously it's working, the kind of safe space, because people keep coming back.
Absolutely.
On the pitch then, you said it earlier, but you secured your first ever double last season. So you became champions of the Leinster Metro League Division 10 and winners of the Guilfoyle James Cup. How special was that?
Oh, that's unreal. That was so nice. We played both the league final and the cup final at in Turnure at home, and I remember it was sunny as it was in Argentina, so it felt like we were really back home in Patagonia on a summer day. And then we had a barbecue on both days, you know. So again, lifting a cup, you know, whatever level it is, you know, it is the achievement of all the work that you put in the season. And for us, for the founders as well, is that that feeling of that all that effort that we put at the beginning, you know, is giving its fruits and its results, you know. So it was super special.
Yeah, it must have felt like a culmination of, wow, all our hard work has paid off on the pitch, and then also with the third halves afterwards and the crowds, that all the hard work for the social side has paid off as well. Was it like a mesh of the two coming together?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And actually that day, it was such a lovely day. We invited all the community knowing that we had a good chance of winning, because we finished first, I think, in the league, and the cup we also felt we had a really strong team. So We knew we had a good chance of winning the double, so we invited the community, and I can't remember how many people, but I think we were around like 50 outside of the pitch for social rugby. You know, sometimes you don't see that crowd in AAL games. So it was amazing. It was unreal. Yeah.
How has this season been going then?
So because that was 10, and then this season, what happened was that Division 8 and 9 were combined. The first part of the season, it was kind of a qualification phase. We finished first in that one, so we jumped to 8 directly. So we jumped.
Wow, big jump.
Exactly, it was a big jump. So, and again, we were third, so it's doing well, but we were still at a chance of fighting for that final league final. So hopefully we'll see if our friends from Vectiv or Lansdowne drop a few points and help us to get in there. But look, it is it's good for us, right? It's testing us, right? And it's forcing us to improve our game. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure if you do make it to that final, you'll have a lot of people who have been listening to this down
for the
to
barbecue,
enjoy
yeah.
your third half. Yeah,
absolutely.
You wrote on the kind of post that was put out when you won the double, someone wrote, "This is just the beginning, watch this space." What is next then? What are the dreams of this club going forward from here?
So our dream obviously is to keep improving and keep, professionalizing. Obviously still amateur and you know, all the levels up to AL still amateur, but trying to be that hub, but at a higher level, for those players that want to adapt into Irish rugby, because again, that adaptation, we've seen players that are, you know, have a really high level in their home countries, but that adaptation piece is missing when they join a rugby team in Ireland, because of all the things that we said, right? You know, new language, new culture, they're working outside, you know, long hours, perhaps in a restaurant, a pub, you know, and so all that first year is very, very hard for players to perform at their best level. So we want to be that hub for them, you know. We want to bring those players from Argentina that want to learn English and then jump into an AEL team, perhaps, or from Italy, or from France, or from Spain. We have a lot of players from those countries, you know, and I think we're the best place for them to adapt in those first years. So that's kind of like our goal, you know, to keep improving and see if we can keep improving our position in the Metro League and see how far we can go.
All right. Well, best of luck. I'm sure there'll be lots more coming out of that space in Terranure. And thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Settle in on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 0.0.